This is the H Dickey Pod.
And we're back. This is at Put 'em Up Duh.
Black Hoodie Gang. PUTEMUPDEU. Throw up that X for DMX. May you rest in peace.
Oh, that was nice. That was really sweet.
Thank you.
And we're on the at H Dickey Network at HDIKY with the number one on the end. Mm-hmm. Question for you though, because I was posting a lot on the H Dickey Network. Your podcast has the one, but the H Dickey Network doesn't. So you're just having me pub your stuff all this whole time? Yeah. Blast!
Fuck you, Mark. fuck you.
All right, this is gonna be a little bit different because it was a hell of a fight last night between Haney and Linares. So we're gonna dive straight into that. The whole cast might be about that. We'll talk a little bit about the undercards, and I do want to talk about the Nonito Donaire fight, even though I haven't watched it yet. But I hope you have.
Yeah, I have.
And also something else that fucking Ryan Garcia said.
Oh, I saw that. I was hoping
you saw it, we try so hard to
be understanding, and we try not to trash fighters, and we try.
Especially with you. You're the hardest one to avoid talking shit about, bro, because here we are pumping you up and, like, trying to get your mental health straight, and then you go and say some shit like this just to be a hateful kid. I don't even know what to blame it on now.
And I don't, before we get into the fight, but I don't understand trashing somebody who got hurt. But when you got knocked down your last fight.
Yeah. And let's be real. Look, we'll get into it too. And look, what Ryan Garcia said was great fight, good fight, but I'm sorry, Devin, I would have knocked you out or something that effect.
Devin, it was a good fight, but I would have slapped you. I would have slapped you.
That makes it even worse because I just saw the quote written. I didn't see the video.
He posted a video with him doing live commentary. He was like, good fight, but I would have slapped you.
Please tell me you're joking.
No, I'm not. I will repost that.
I'm going to
make a note to repost what he said so you guys don't think I'm lying.
I'm going to my IG right now and deleting that fucking nice post we posted about him. When was that? When was it? This one? Like, let's see.
Yeah.
Give a kid a chance. Yep, deleted right now.
It was just stupid. Like,
bro.
It was just silly. Like, don't do that.
See?
He's really deleting it, guys.
Deleted.
Yeah, so.
Gone.
Okay, let's get to the fight. Let's talk about it.
So, and then we'll get back to Ryan Garcia. So, hell of a fight, man. Devin Haney, this was the Devin Haney that we've been wanting to see. And big shout-outs to you, man. We'll get into a whole lot of thoughts and opinions about how the fight actually went. But Devin Haney, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to fight, bro, and, like, really bringing the fight. You had flashes of Pretty Boy Floyd in you. You were doing different things. You were pressing the action. You were controlling the fight the whole time up until the 10th round and the last second of the 10th round.
Yeah. Again, it was phenomenal.
The stuff
he was doing was next level shit.
Yeah, man.
It was the first time I really saw a lot of the Floyd Mayweather comparisons.
Yeah.
Because I hate sports comparisons.
Yeah.
People get really lazy with them. Like, even last night in boxing, to switch gears real quick, they had that guy from Kazakhstan fighting, and they were like, oh, he's the next Triple G.
Why?
The guy didn't even throw a jab. Triple G has the most feared jab and one of the most feared jabs in boxing history.
He was awful.
Where was the comparison? He's a lefty. Triple G's not a lefty. Anyway.
He kept pushing off.
Yeah, he kept pushing off with two hands. But anyway, that was the first time I've seen somebody really do Mayweather stuff, and it looked just like Mayweather.
Yeah, man.
The half step back, the countering. He did this move where he puts his lead arm out to push your arms down. He throws a little uppercut to your solar plexus.
Yep.
He did that a couple times. The check hooks, the lead right, not even off the jab, the high pinpoint jab.
Yeah, man.
Man, it was phenomenal.
The jab, like the fake jab into a hook.
Yeah.
The body to the jab to the body that Mayweather uses so brilliantly to back people off of him and just keep people honest. It was really beautiful. Now I saw online, and even a friend of mine, who Aaron, that we always talk shit about, who doesn't know shit about boxing, texted me last night and was like, "Haney's done. He has no power. No this. No that." Look, man, He doesn't have this crazy Tank Davis, Teofimo power.
Ryan Garcia power.
Yeah, but his the jury's still out on me about Ryan Garcia having power. I'm not saying that he doesn't. I just don't know to what effect he does because he hasn't fought anybody of substance.
Okay.
So it's not that he doesn't have power. It's just that he has that Mayweather effect of where his shit is just countering people and, like, people get gun-shy. They're getting stopped in their tracks every time they try to work in a fight. They can't do anything with them. They can't be aggressive. They can't back up. Everything that they're trying isn't working. So it has that effect. I don't know what it's going to be when he moves up in competition. And if he fights the Teos and the Tanks and the Ryan Garcias, I don't know what it's going to be. I really want to see it because I feel like whatever he does, if he steps up in competition, it's going to step up his game as well. But I don't know if he's going to be able to last if he gets checked like that against somebody like a Teo.
The question I had last night was, can Teo, Tank, Ryan, can they land the shot that Linares landed? Because I want to come in here. I want to have done my homework. So I rewatched when he got buzzed. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that was at the end of a 5-punch combination when he got buzzed?
Yep.
Linares threw 2 body shots, then he came over top of the left. The left missed, then the right landed, then another left landed.
And then, yep.
Does Tank really throw 5 punch combinations that fast, that fluidly, with no hiccups?
Oh, well said.
Does Tank, does Teo do that? Does Ryan do that? Not really. So it made me wonder, like, okay, yeah, he got buzzed bad. Okay. Devin, I like you, bro.
Yeah.
I do. I really wish the best for you. I was so happy that you did well. The one thing I did not like was after the fight. Don't keep telling us about how you weren't hurt, bro. Don't insult my intelligence.
Come on, man.
Bro, you got hit with that shot, and you look like a 9-month-old taking his first step.
Oh,
every
shit.
Step, your foot was buried in the gravel, bro. That's what a 9-month-old looks like when he's trying to take his first steps. You were clearly hurt.
And we wouldn't be talking if you just said, yeah, I mean, he buzzed me a little bit. It was a good shot. And then kept talking.
Shit.
So
happens.
So this was in the post-fight interview. The analyst is asking, you know, when you got hurt, how did you feel? And he was like, it was a good shot. I wasn't hurt by any means.
The craziest thing was the analyst didn't even ask him if he was hurt yet. He said it first.
Oh, okay.
He was like, so things got a little tough later on in the fight. He's like, I wasn't hurt. I didn't get hurt. I was fine. It was a good shot. But, you know, I just had to box smart. I started boxing smart. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. I'm going to give you 100% credit. 10 rounds. For the most part, masterpiece.
Beautiful.
Chef's kiss.
Yep.
Gordon Ramsay would have loved it. Whatever. At the end of the 10th, you got caught with a really hard shot. You didn't box beautifully after that.
No.
You held a lot. That was the most holding I've ever seen.
Yeah, and again, we're not talking shit about it because as a fighter, when you get buzzed like that, you should try to hold on and you should try to get your mental and your legs back in tight. So I get it. And nobody's knocking you for that. So when you say at the end of the fight that you weren't hurt by it and you weren't roused, come on, man. Linares does this to everybody. He knocked down Lomachenko.
You look like somebody that just crashed off a Titanic reaching for the life vest, man. Life jacket.
You did, man. And
Cheerio they throw out. You were you were hugging on for dear life. Nobody does that when they're really just boxing.
It makes me sad because we pride ourselves on not being another podcast that just shits on fighters. And if you go back to all of our episodes, we don't do that. Whenever we talk about somebody, we always preemptively say, we really like you. We're saying this to better you. So after the post-fight interview, what we got is that, oh, okay, he's still mentally young. And look, he is a young man, so I don't want to, like, go at him too hard. But come on, man, you were hurt about it. It's okay. You controlled the whole fight for 10 rounds, and it was fucking beautiful. Linares had nothing for you, man, and it was everything we've been wanting to see and everything that every fight fan has been telling you online that they want to see. And the fact that you did it was just, like, so much respect to you. But then Will sent me this beautiful clip of Linares going into Devin's locker room after the fight. And it was a beautiful exchange of respect, and Linares was talking and this, this, and this. What did you think, and this is for you too, Mark. Look, man, I'm an actor, so I look into shit maybe a little more deeply, maybe shit that's not even supposed to be there. But, like, the question is this. What was up with Devin Haney saying, but what'd you think about the power? What'd you think about the speed, though? What was this?
It was a young kid that probably grew up idolizing Linares, trying to seek his approval,
okay,
and trying to pick his brain. It was a little awkward, but I don't think it was for the camera. I think he really was curious.
I'm not saying it was for the camera.
I think Devin's a little fragile mentally, mm-hmm. and so I think he really wanted his approval. Like, did I do good? Did you like what I did that? What did I do with the jab? And I think he was really trying to prick his brain. Because remember, Lenard's like, you should double up on the jab, then throw the right.
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I think he was just trying to seek his approval from somebody he probably grew up watching and he idolized.
Yeah.
I didn't take it any way negatively at all. Like, I thought it was... Yeah. I thought it was valid.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was the same. He's just a kid. Like, he's young. He wants that approval. And
yeah. Yeah, so I that's a great point. I hadn't thought about it that way, and you're right. It could be that. To me, it just, again, yeah, it seems like a young kid, and it seems like the age of social media where they need that, like, hey, was it good?
Did you give me that like? That's what I think, too.
And so, like, just as a kid that's a boxer, you know, that probably saw Lenard's forever, I understand it from that point. But I also saw something else in that, like, tell people how hard I hit. Tell people how fast I am. Like, tell them how good I am. And that's kind of what I saw a little bit. And I was like, Devin, you don't need it, bro. Keep fighting like this. Keep being smart. Look, man, you still have – that was your biggest step up in competition. So, of course, Lenard is going to land a good punch. You held him off for 10 rounds, and the punch that he caught you with was at the end of a fucking round. So you're good, man. I know you believe it, but I think you still have that little bit of youth doubt. I think you're going to be great, bro, but yeah, I just can't wait to see him step up in competition.
The only thing that stopped me from thinking that it was for social media was when he talked about the strategy they both had.
Right.
That was like, oh, okay, he's really picking his brain. Because remember he said the first 5 rounds, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to try to catch me with something big, and that's why I was very alert, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I was trying, but I was a little nervous. I was a little tight, mm-hmm, yeah. So I wasn't really letting my hands go. So I thought it was just two technicians discussing what they just went through and kind of trying to pick each other's brains and see how they can improve. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on that.
I do want to talk about Lenard's a bit, man, because Lenard's, bro, you just always come to fight, man, and like all respect to you because we love watching what you do. The entire fight, you know, in essence, you were getting outclassed in our opinion, but you were never out of the fight.
No.
Me and Will kept saying, oh, he's looking for this, he's looking for that punch, and you would land it sometimes, and then when the 10th round came and from then on out, it was nothing but like we just felt that the knockout was coming and it was about to be another like Rocky-esque ending and you were going to win the fight. What made us upset was the 11th round, man, and like I really, if you ever listen to this and hear this, please, can you tell me why not put the foot down on the gas pedal and really go for it? And we understand, we were like, oh, it's late in the fight, he must be tired. But, like, why not give it all out? And then in the 12th round, when you actually did it, you were going hard for it. We were like, why the fuck didn't you do this?
He hurt him again.
Yeah, you did. I'm like, why didn't you do this in the 11th? And I understand that Devin was, like, straight going to, like, grab. He was going straight for it, which is super illegal. And this ref was not the fucking best ref. I actually like him a lot in previous fights, but he was pissing me off in this one. So why didn't he go hard for that knockout in the 11th?
Yeah, it's just, like people online were, like, making fun of Devin for clinching. I'm like, dude.
The fuck do you think he's supposed to?
He's supposed to clinch. He has no legs right now. Like, that's not on him. Lenares cannot accept the clinch in that 11th round. You just can't.
Yeah.
That's boxing 101. When somebody reaches for a clinch, you sidestep them, you make them pay. Mm-hmm. If they're able to clinch you, you shrug them off, free your hands, and throw whatever you can get off to keep them hurt. That was kind of on him. He didn't make Devin keep fighting. He let Devin hold him. The referee did what he could do. I mean, he could have taken a point, but it wouldn't have mattered. Like,
oh, if Devin's coming straight in like this, why not
step aside and hit him with something over the top? Like,
I understand you're tired, but damn it.
Yeah, that was your golden opportunity. It was staring you in the face, and he couldn't act on it. It was disappointing. I understood why it happened, mm-hmm. but... Yeah. Man, that was it. That was the one shot you had because he was gone.
And this isn't, again, this is two people that were going for Devin but rooting for Lenares, if that makes any sense. So the fact that he had that moment, I hope he, like, I wonder what he's thinking as he's watching film. Like, fuck, I should have just gone for that. Mm-hmm. I should have, like, put my tiredness to the side and my fatigue to the side and gone for it because it would have been a hell of an ending to an amazing fight.
He knew he was hurt. Remember at the end of the 10th round, he did the ole!
Yeah,
like,
man.
Devin was, like, stumbling back to the corner, and Lenares walks up to him and does, like, a matador move where he, like, pulls it away, like, ole, go to your corner. So he knew he was out, but... man, you just cannot accept that clinch. You can't. No. It's easy for us to sit back and say that from our couch, but
yeah,
the truth is the truth, man. You cannot accept a clinch when somebody's that hurt.
Lenore,
you got to put him away.
He's so gangster, man. He has that Argentinian machismo bullshit that they have, and it's so fun to watch, man, because at the end of the fight, of course, Lenore puts his hands up and like he won, and then he goes to the corner and starts talking shit to Devin Haney's trainers and people. I don't know what was said.
He was arguing with his dad because he's mad that Devin was running those last few rounds and clinching. Right. And he said, I thought you were going to fight me.
Right.
The dad was like, man, get out of here with that
fuck
shit. You know, his dad's old school, son.
Yeah, and what did Devin Haney say? He was like something, you didn't win a round.
Yeah, I'll box you easily or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, it was easy till about the 10th.
Yeah.
Even then, I wouldn't call it easy. He landed, like, Lenore has landed a good shot every round. Yeah. Like, yes, he was losing the rounds, but it wasn't like a wash to me. It was competitive.
Yeah.
Like, Devin showed me everything I wanted to see. I'm hoping now that we've seen how vulnerable he can be, people will rush to fight him, really start calling him out and really making it happen. I don't want to say he's avoided, but I do think fighting that style makes him more of a name. Now people are like, oh, Devin Haney, that was an exciting fight last time.
Yeah.
I want to watch him now.
Yeah, his being avoided is what we said yesterday. It's like he's a tough fight for anybody. Nobody can doubt that. But because you don't come to fight and you don't have exciting fights before the Lenore's fight, nobody wants to fight you because it's not worth the risk. You're not going to make enough money for the purse. You're not going to be a big enough name to promote it. Everybody's going to be asking who the hell this kid is. So it's a high risk, low reward. But now with the Lenore's fight under your belt, it seems like people now may know your name, and there's a good potential fight for the Garcia or the Theo fight or the Tank fight. But you have to fight like this. If you fight the other way, man, and go backwards, it's going to be a fucking shit show.
Yeah, and like nobody wanted to fight him because he's primarily a defensive fighter that doesn't engage. Nobody wants to chase somebody around that all that time that has super fast hands. Like, where's the reward in that? Trust me, if Mayweather wasn't a box office draw, nobody would have fought him.
Mm-hmm.
He was frustrating as hell to fight.
Absolutely.
Makes you look stupid as hell. You throw a shot, you're all discombobulated, flying out of the ropes like Canelo did that one time. Like, who's going to sign up for that if there ain't no money involved?
Yep.
So I think Devin did himself a solid by fighting that way. Yes, he got rocked, but so what? Every fighter gets rocked.
Yep.
All the people talking shit online, get a life.
Mayweather's been rocked.
Get a life.
Andre Ward's been rocked. Canelo's been rocked.
We've been saying it for weeks. Linares is the perfect matchup because he's going to show us everything we want to see that is inside of Devin Haney.
Yep.
And you saw the full gamut. You saw the beautiful offense. You saw the check hooks.
Yep.
You saw the jab to the body. You saw the lead left uppercut.
Everything.
How about that lead left uppercut? Man, that was beautiful.
Yep.
But you also saw what happens when Devin gets chinned.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a good shot. You got to give him credit. He could have been knocked out by that shot.
Linares hits hard.
Yeah, Linares hits like a mule, man. So we got to see the full gamut. I can't be any more happy about how that fight turned out. That was exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah, man.
Yes, Linares could have punched it in the 11th round, but whatever. I'm more happy for the sport of boxing because the boxing community needs another star.
Yeah, man.
And Devin might be that bad guy that everybody hates because I don't know if you know this, but Devin represents Vegas. He's Las Vegas. That's his hometown.
Okay.
That fight was in Vegas, and they booed the shit out of
him. They did, man.
Which I don't think is fair.
No, that was shocking.
Yeah.
Because at least from what I saw in the crowd when the camera was passing by, it was a predominantly black crowd. I don't know if a lot of Argentinians came and made the trip and, like, were booing him then. Sorry, Venezuelans.
Yeah,
I've been saying Argentinians. Sorry, Venezuelans.
You good.
So, yeah, I wonder what people really think about him because we love him. It's just little things about what he's doing right now that we're like, come on, dude, you could be better. I do want to ask your opinion on this, man.
Yeah.
Linares and Ryan Garcia.
That's the fight they were talking about making. That's the fight I said I wanted to see, remember?
That would be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, man.
And I think Linares would take it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah.
It's a barn burner. Look, the thing about Linares is this. And before this fight, interesting stat, Linares had never lost a decision.
Whoa.
All his losses were by knockout.
Holy shit.
That's why I was very curious to see how this turned out because usually you don't outbox Linares. You just knock him out. That's
right.
How you beat him.
Right.
I mean, Lomachenko probably would have won the decision had it gone to the cards. But Ryan, I think Ryan has bigger punching power than Devin, obviously. Okay. But he's also a little chinnier, and his defense isn't nearly the level of Devin.
And his foot speed is not what Devin's is.
And so he's going to be there for Linares to crack.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. I think that's a great logical next step. I mean, you're talking about you would have chinned Devin. Well, beat Linares first, and let's see what you got.
And, bro, please answer me this, man. If you're talking all this stuff about getting your mental health right and, you know, stepping away from boxing to get your stuff together, why are you online talking shit about somebody else, man? You to me, it just felt like you're using a legit mental... I lost my train of thought. Like, what would you call somebody going through suffering from depression or anxiety? Mental...
breakdown, I mean...
I don't want to say disability because it's not that. Somebody suffering with mental issues, mental health issues.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're taking people that are actually dealing with shit, and then now you're over here talking shit again. Was it just a lapse? Was it... I just don't get what you're doing, man, and it disappointed me a lot because here I am. We're trying to help you out. We're giving you a chance because you're a kid, and you're over here talking shit all over again to somebody actually fighting, actually doing it, not running away from his fight. So I don't
get it, man. I mean, to circle back around, sign me up for Linares Garcia. Yeah. I would love that fight for Linares. Get him one last payday before he goes out. It's a winnable fight.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a more competitive fight than Haney, Haney Linares.
Yeah.
And do you think Haney is ready for Lopez? I'll give my opinion, but I want to hear yours first.
I think he's ready to fight anybody in the division.
Okay.
I think he got great experience with his Linares fight because Linares is shifty as hell. He's crafty. He's a vet.
Fast hands. Explosive.
It's weird how, you know, everybody says matches make fights, right?
Yep.
So Theo, being that he moves more, might be more beneficial for Devin. He's used to fighting guys like this more than he is fighting guys like Linares. So I don't know. Do I think he can win? I don't know because Lopez and Tank and everybody else has way more experience than him. But I'm all on board to watch these fights, man. Sign me the fuck up.
I love the clash of styles it'll be. It's a speed jab, which, by the way, I think Devin has the best jab at that division.
Yep.
If Shakur was officially a lightweight, I would say it's negligible, the difference between the two. But, man, that fast, accurate jab was something to behold.
Yeah, man.
So it's going to come down to it's the power jab versus the speed jab. What I think will be the difference in that fight, Teo is a bully.
Yeah.
And he's bigger than Devin naturally to me. He's stronger than Devin naturally. I think Devin will win the first few rounds because of his speed. I mean, that shit is just hard to figure out. But I think eventually it's going to be in a weird way similar to what Canelo did to Billy Joe Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that all those four guys fight similarly. They don't. But it's going to be Teo sacrificing those early rounds to land a couple of hard body shots, a couple of hard shots to let Devin know he's there to wear him down for later.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it playing out. Okay. I see Teo late round stoppage, like maybe 10th or 11th round. He just tires Devin out.
Damn,
he doesn't accept the clinch. Teo would not accept that clinch like Linares.
Mm-hmm.
He would shrug him off and beat the brakes off of him.
Yeah.
So I think right now if they fought, Teo has him. Years down the line, I think Devin will eventually grow into his power and learn how to punch a little bit harder. I mean, if I can say there's one critique of that fight, and I'm not critiquing him getting hurt. That's bullshit. Everybody gets hit. All everybody right. gets buzzed.
Right.
Look back on every Hall of Famer's career. There was a point where they all got hurt.
Yeah.
It's the hurt business. But one critique I will have is, like, his power, it's stinking power, but it's not knockout thudding power.
Yep.
So to keep Teo off of him for 12 rounds, that's going to be very, very difficult. And people forget, Teo can box, man.
Yep.
Teo can really box. He's got great timing.
Mm-hmm.
He showed that in the Lomachenko fight.
That's right.
So I picked Teo to win by late stoppage. I kind of think Tank goes similarly. I don't think he's the bully that Teo is in that way, but I think he's a little bit better of a boxer.
Yeah.
Has a little bit more hand speed. So I also think Tank will beat him, too.
That power that he has. Jesus Christ.
Now, since Ryan's running his mouth, who wins Devin versus Ryan?
I still say Devin.
Yeah.
I don't think Ryan could beat any of the elites in that class.
Yeah, me either. I think Devin's hand speed would eat him up. Ryan's got so many defensive deficiencies.
Yeah.
He leaves his head on the straight line. He lets you get your foot to the outside. And I know some people are going to say, well, you don't necessarily always have to have your foot on the outside of your competitor's lead foot. You can have it on the inside. You can. It creates a different angle, but it does create disadvantage most of the time.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the technicality of Devin would eat Ryan up.
Yeah, not having your foot on the outside. You're talking about the elite fighters that don't have to do that, like the Mayweathers and the Andre Wards of the world. Like, not a lot of people could work on the inside of that. You have to be on the outside. Yeah, man. I want to share one quick thought I had last night for some reason.
Do it.
I was thinking about the people saying how boxing is dead and, you know, the UFC is more popular and blah, 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 blah. It's all bullshit, by the way. And, like, boxing still makes more money and has a better draw and everything.
On more networks.
More networks, everything. More stars, everything. So I was thinking last night how everybody used to say, oh, man, boxing ain't what it used to be. It used to be this, this, and this, and this. And I was like, you know what? I feel like boxing was at its height when Mike Tyson was, like, just buzzsawing people. Yeah, I'm sure it was huge back in the days of Ali and, like, even when Sugar Ray Leonard was doing his thing. But it was a different time. People didn't have all the social media and they didn't have different networks to watch. It was like this was the fight and this was what was going on, so people were watching it. Now we have all this stuff going on, everything social media. You can do everything in the world. You can be wherever you want in the world. You can know what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So to say boxing isn't as big is bullshit. Because if you watch these fights happening last night, and last night was a great example of what boxing could be and what the average fan who doesn't know these people, if they just stepped into a room and started watching this fight, they'd be like, oh, shit, this is amazing. This is way better than a lot of UFC fights that I've seen. And, you know, I hope people stop saying that it's dead, it's dead, it's dead. No, you're comparing it to what it was in the 90s when Tyson was fucking running through people in less than a round. So I hope people can take it for what it is. The same way we're taking fighters fighting these YouTube stars and being like, it's just a new thing.
Yeah.
Take boxing for what it is and leave and take UFC for what it is. Stop saying, oh, it's a much harder sport. It's a much harder sport. It's a different sport. You're literally in there using your legs and you're grappling and you're doing all this stuff. Boxing is with gloves on and it's with your hands. There's nothing to compare. Just because there's physical aspects to it doesn't mean it's the same kind of sport. So stop comparing it to that because it just makes you look negatively at something that doesn't really deserve to be.
And look, when these people say these things, I'm like, how many legit stars were there back then?
Right.
Tyson's fights were a big deal because he was the only star in boxing.
And he's a once-in-a-generation talent.
There wasn't a slew of welterweights. There wasn't a slew of lightweights that you would tune in to watch on a network. There is more competitive programming against boxing right now. The NBA is more popular than it's ever been. The NFL was more popular than it was back then. Baseball, all the other sports are more popular than they've ever been.
Yeah.
So they're working against that as well. And like you said, there's like 7 networks that play boxing.
Mm-hmm.
They're still breaking pay-per-view records. How is boxing dead? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I think people hear that and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They just want to rah, rah, rah behind it. But do a little bit of research, y'all.
Yeah.
The pay-per-view buy rates are still way up. It's on more networks than it's ever been on.
Yeah.
There's more household names than there's ever been. Yes, there's not that one guy that's a huge, huge star besides probably Pacquiao or Canelo Alvarez. But any other generation you compare it to, they have 2 megastars just like every other generation did. Like, I don't really understand the comparison at all. Like,
I feel like I just realized it as you were talking. You know how back in the day when you go to a bar, the boxing would be on the TV. Now it's UFC. UFC is a much better thing to have at a bar because people aren't really paying attention. They're having their drinks. They're talking to girls. It's whatever. So to look up and to see somebody get rocked is a hell of a thing to have at a bar.
Yeah.
So I feel like everybody that goes to bars are the ones that are saying, oh, no, that shit's boring, man. Put on UFC where people get knocked out so my drunk ass could be super excited and act like I could do the same thing. That's why everybody says boxing is dead and it's bullshit, man. And go watch boxing. It's fucking fun.
And the funny thing is the UFC only has 1 star.
True.
Conor McGregor is the only star in the UFC.
That's
like,
true.
I love Israel Adesanya.
I love a lot of
I love John there. Jones. That's I love right. Rose Namajunas.
Yep.
But they're not really household stars like boxing has. You think the second highest star in the UFC is anything on the level of Manny Pacquiao, Canelo Alvarez?
Fuck,
no.
And so the money that they make.
How is our sport dead? Like,
right. And if you want to talk about the money, come on. How much money does a pay-per-view star, or even just somebody like last night, how much money are they taking home versus what a UFC fighter
Devin Haney
home?
Made $5 million for that fight, I think.
That's what the Nigerian dude's name that just beat.
Ngannou.
Yeah, he won $1.7 million, I think he got.
So
for
he
doing
made
that.
A third of what Devin Haney made, but our sport's dead?
For risking his life. Like, let's be real. UFC, you're risking your effing life. Boxing, you are, just not as much.
Yeah.
So let's not say that it's dead.
Yeah, let's move on from that.
Yeah.
Please move on from that, y'all. Like, don't ever buy into that whole boxing is dead. Do a little bit of homework and realize, hey, the sport is actually thriving.
The world is different now.
Yeah.
We do want to, like, quickly talk about the undercards that were on there because there were some really good fighters going.
You guys?
Please.
We got another one.
Tell me.
Gary Antoine Russell,
Ooh.
Man.
Woo-wee. That kid is nice, man.
130-pound champ. Or no, his brother's the 130-pound champ. He's the younger brother of Gary Russell Jr. Shout out to his father for naming his four sons Gary Russell. Not confusing at all. He literally named his four sons.
I was legit. Look. full disclosure, I smoked a little bit before the fight, so I'm like watching this shit, and I'm like, why is Will saying Gary Russell? That's not him. Why does he keep calling him Gary Russell? And I don't want to correct Will. And then, like, now it just made sense. He gave them different middle names, correct?
Yeah, but they're all Gary Russell. Why would you do that to your children?
Give it to me, Mark.
Yeah. I don't know. I get it. But, you're proud of your lineage.
And you can't, you cannot, what's his middle name? Gary?
Antoine.
Gary Antoine Russell. You cannot miss
him. I think another one is Gary Anton.
Wow.
I think.
Wow. That takes a lot of balls, man. That takes a lot of balls. And you can't miss him because he has the most unique hair I think I've ever seen of a boxer. And that's saying a lot. Because Camacho was around, fucking
I don't want to be mean, Vargas. But he's got transient hair. He got that unnatural dreadlock.
Shit. That's really fucking funny.
It's true,
transient
though.
Transient hair.
It's
that's true, so true.
Though. I'm not making fun that's of homeless really people. I'm not, funny. Y'all. But he really does have, like, the that natural transient, dirty fro. Like.
Yeah. And even in the promotional pictures, which were worse... I don't want to say worse, because I actually like it. It just, I know the general public and the general media would say that your hair is shitty. Damn it, that sounds really mean. Because I don't mean that. I really like your hair, so it's like,
unique. It's unique.
So he got some, like, a fro, but this is colored and this is colored? Yeah. Or is this colored?
Dude, I don't know.
It's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. But in the promotional photos, he had, like, a dread here, two dreads here, and then I'm assuming one in the back. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like... It's different.
It's bohemian. It's cool.
It's very cool.
I hope it doesn't smell. So, it looks like it does.
So I'm watching it. You know, I'm watching the beginning, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be an interesting fight. And that motherfucker can fight.
Man, he got fast hands. He had two Sonic the Hedgehogs in his hands.
I'm like, I understand holy now hell. Why you do why you dress how you, or you have your hair how you have it, because it takes a lot of fucking balls to back that shit up. And you did, my brother. You have two new fans here in the LBC. You are fucking talented. I cannot wait to see what you do in this 14 game.
14 fights, 14 knockouts. I don't know what else you want, y'all.
Who's going to stop him? And I don't know. I forget.
130, though. He can fight Shakur.
Oh, he's at 130. Oh, yeah. Shit. I thought he was smaller than that for some reason.
No,
okay.
No, he's at 130.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if they'll ever fight, but that'd be fun. That's a lot of speed.
He's going to be a dude that people avoid, and they're going to keep saying that he doesn't have anybody on his resume and this and that, but nobody's going to want to fight him. He's way too big of a risk. I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something about him. He looks older. Am I bugging? Or
he has that old man face. He's 24 or 25.
Okay. All right.
He looks like my uncle or something.
Yeah, you said it best. He looks like...
My Crip uncle.
Your Crip uncle, man. And that shit is so funny. Because anybody from around the way that knows, like, you just have that uncle that just looks like he's always ready to fight.
Yeah. He's the uncle that brings the Hennessy to the family picnic.
And sneaks it in the brown bag. Yeah. Always kind of has it in his hand. I'm like, fuck, why'd you bring it to the party?
So religious Meemaw won't see him drinking at the family function? That's what he looks like.
So big shout out to him, man. Again, like, it's fun when we get to see a fan that or a boxer that we weren't really checking for, and as fans we just kind of see it and we're like, holy shit, I cannot wait to see what else this dude brings.
And yeah, real quick, we always want to talk about the ladies because we love women's boxing.
Woo!
The fight last night, oh man,
Jesus Christ.
Chantel Cameron's pretty good. I've heard about her. She fights at, I think, 130, 126, right around there.
Mm-hmm.
She's the same division as Amanda Serrano and Michaela Mayer.
Ooh.
She's a good fighter. I don't think she beats either one of them, but I love the way she was putting those combinations together.
Yeah, man.
Poor Melissa Hernandez.
I don't know. I don't want to share anything. I don't know why she was fighting. I don't know if she just, like, thinks she could still do it, but I know she came back at, like, 41, right?
Yeah, 41.
And is trying to fight this really good fighter and, you know, got exposed because I think when Melissa was fighting, and I could be wrong, so please correct me, I feel like boxing, female boxing wasn't where it's at right now, so she was dominating a lot of people back in the day. And now it's like, let's say international basketball. Americans were dominating for so long they caught up, and now you have to really fucking try hard to beat these people.
Yep.
So you came out, and you know, I never liked Melissa Hernandez too much because of the dancing and, like, the arrogance that she kind of showed, and I felt like it wasn't earned. She didn't beat anybody that I knew of back in the day. So to come out still, like, trying to be a showman and do all this and then get your ass whooped for however many rounds...
That's life.
I don't get it, but
that was a learned. Very good example of the sport catching up to people. Like the 90s basketball, I always think of the dream team made that game global.
Yep.
And so now what we're seeing with Luka Doncic, with Nikola Jokic, are these guys that grew up watching that dream team.
Manu.
And now these motherfuckers from overseas are just as good as we are. Yep. Because the sport went global thanks to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about women's boxing, even though we didn't really popularize women's boxing. I think overseas they do it a little bit better. But you're seeing the evolution of the sport when you saw Melissa Hernandez fighting a young Chantel Cameron.
Yeah, man.
And people online were complaining about the stoppage. You guys, come on, man. Come off it.
Watch the fight.
Yeah, she did not land anything.
Yeah.
Chantel Cameron was literally like, hey, I'm going to try to go southpaw this round and throw an uppercut from 20 feet out. Oh, it landed? Cool.
Yep.
Let's try this.
Anything.
That's when you got to stop the fight, dude, You're taking unnecessary punishment. The referee told Melissa Hernandez in the third round, if you don't show me anything, I'm going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped it in the fifth. He gave her time. What do you want him to do?
I mean, she was getting tagged left and right, bro. It wasn't competitive. The other girl didn't. She had nothing. There was no risk. Everything was just coming. Uppercuts, hooks, jabs, crosses, everything.
It looked like she was just trying new combinations that she'd never thrown before.
She's like, oh, I'm just going to practice then.
I'm going to try an uppercut, hook to the body, left jab. Like, and it worked.
Yeah, it's like when I'm boxing Mark. I'm just like, I'm going to just play right. Just kidding. Mark actually brings
it. Every time Chantel Cameron landed, Melissa Hernandez flew off against the ropes.
Yeah, man.
Like, you have to stop it as a referee.
It was those punches that, like, it's hard. I'm not making fun. But, like, sometimes you get tagged and you're just like, your face goes back and it's kind of like a smile. And when you're getting hit like that, it may not knock you out and it may not be hurting that much, but bro, it's just not good for your brain.
No.
It's not good for your facial structure. No. So I'm glad they stopped it when they did.
Yeah.
I
think that's all for the undercard. Oh, Mosley fought a guy named Jason Quigley. If you guys are around and you're on YouTube and you're looking for something to watch, it's a fun little undercard fight. Sometimes you get these little undercard treat fights. Shane Mosley, obviously the son of the great Shane Mosley.
Yeah, can we talk about him for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
No, please, like, finish your... Yeah,
so Shane Mosley fought a guy named Jason Quigley, an Irishman, a contender. They're both middleweights.
Yeah.
And you really saw what happens when the son of a legend doesn't quite get all the seasoning that their parents had.
Yeah.
Because he's working hard, he's trying his best, but he just doesn't have that special little something that his dad had. And it just was sad to watch for me.
Yeah, man, it's sad, and I don't know if that's the right word to use. It just made me feel like, man, it's not fair because you're a decent fighter. You're a legit professional fighter. Nobody could take that from you.
Yeah.
But you're not your dad, and you look just like him. You're not going to have the same career as him. Again, you're not your dad, and it's hard because you're going to be compared to him forever because you look just like him. And it just makes me sad that, like, younger fighters have to do that. And this goes for any body that has sons in the NBA and the NFL now. If you don't exceed your father, you're always going to be compared. And I just think it's so unfair because what he was doing was great, man. He had punches. He had a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's just – sorry to say it like this, and it's just my opinion – he's just going to be a journeyman fighter, and that's okay. That's a great career to have.
Yeah.
But to constantly be compared to your dad and be shat on for whatever, it just sucks, man.
It was the inverse of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. to me.
Yeah.
Julio Cesar Chavez, if he actually had work ethic, wouldn't be a bad boxer.
Yep.
He can punch in bunches. He has crazy stamina for somebody that likes to smoke weed at 3 a.m. and eat Lucky Charms in pink underwear.
Probably a little.
Yeah, a little of the booger sugar. But
cocaína.
Yeah. But it was just sad to see because you know Mosley Jr. goes to that gym and works hard.
Yeah.
You see it in what he does, but he just doesn't have the natural ability. And he fought a good fight. I thought it was a draw. I didn't think he deserved to lose, but you really see what happens when you're the son of a prodigy, but you don't get everything they had.
That's right.
And it was tough to watch. But it was a fun fight. If you're on YouTube looking for something interesting to watch, check out Shane Mosley Jr. versus Jason Quigley. Fought with a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Very tough fight. They slugged it out for about the fifth round on. It was just standing in the middle of the ring, slugging it out, and it went how it went. But it was tough.
Do you want to talk about Nonito at all?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it, so everything
Nonito Donaire, y'all. 38 years old. So to put that in perspective, 38 may not seem old because of what we've seen from Manny and Floyd later in their careers, but Nonito is doing this at 118 pounds.
Ooh, that's hard.
Why is that difficult? Because the lower weights, you don't get to age peacefully into the lower weights. Everything's so fast, the reflexes go. You really don't have success at the lower weights like that past 32. So to see him win a title, a major title at 38 was crazy. And it was the left hook.
Always.
Third round, Nonito's so smart. He knew the guy he was fighting was quicker than him. Mm-hmm. So he just kept cornering him and getting him in the corner and forcing him to exchange out. Mm-hmm. And then the end of those exchanges, that left hook from the Filipino Flash kept landing.
Hell yeah.
First one put him down to the side. Second one put him face down, ass up.
Oh, shit.
It was bad. Then so he somehow survived in the third round. That was two knockdowns. Fourth round, he hit him with it again. He fell, like, sideways into the ropes. Ref called. It was like, okay.
Okay, good. I want to see it later.
Yeah, Nonito got that thumping left hook.
Man.
And you know who he called out?
Ooh.
He wants the monster again.
Ooh.
Anyway, he wants to do it again.
Oh, shit. What happened in their last fight?
That was the war we watched at your house.
Did it go 12 rounds?
It went 12 rounds. Remember, he hurt Nonito with that body shot?
Oh, okay.
And Nonito, like, somehow survived in, like, the 11th round.
Yeah.
That was, like, the fight of the year for me, so I want to see him do it again.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, get him his last payday. He ain't going to beat him, but I would love to watch.
Me too, man, because Nonito just has power, man. And if you ever want to, like, be entertained, go YouTube Nonito and just look up his highlights. Every fight is that. And he even has this one I saw one time on YouTube where he was just showing people different fighters' styles.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, this is the Tyson. This is the Floyd. This is the Manny. This is the this. And I was like, bro, you're a student of the game, and you could tell that that's not just somebody who happened to be watching and it's like, oh, this is what they do. He actually studies these fighters.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's able to still fight at 38. I think he took a page from Manny. He took a page from Floyd, and it's like, fuck it. Like, this is how you stay, this is how you have longevity in the game. So I just have nothing but respect for that dude.
And I love the fact that he moved down in weight as he got older, but he did it in the right way to where he still had stamina, because now he can be a bully at that weight. You can see he was much bigger than that guy, so he knew speed ain't going to be the answer. I'm going to have to bully this dude, get him cornered, and land something heavy, and he did it. So shout out to him. I can't wait till he fights Inoue again. That's going to be great.
Hell yeah.
All right, Q&A.
To the Q&A.
We didn't have a lot of questions this week. That's probably on what?
I have a question for you guys.
Oh, okay, shit.
Go ahead. All
right. If you were Devin going into the 11th round, what would you do different?
Nothing.
I would have held on for dear life, too.
In case the question wasn't heard, if we were Devin Haney, what would we have done in the 11th round? Devin was obviously, like, going for the clinch. Pretty obviously. I'm surprised he didn't get warned.
Super obvious.
To be honest, if I got hit with a shot like that, I'd be doing the exact same thing, man.
I mean, when you're that buzzed, there's nothing you could do other than hold on for dear life, like Jack reaching for the lifesaver.
Yeah, man.
When the Titanic went down that ice water. Like, you have no choice. Don't believe the hype of what Devin said where, I just went to my boxing because I got hit with a good shot.
No,
nigga, you were about to die, man. Mm-hmm. You held on for dear life. So I don't blame him at all for doing that. Shit happens. Like I said, you get caught with a good shot, and that's just the way it is.
And anybody that says different is lying, man.
Yeah. So stop. People need to stop making fun of them online about that. Like,
nah, man, you got
spider round.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't know what it feels like to get rocked, and you're like,
and to have no control over your legs.
Oh, my God.
His legs were gone, y'all. Yeah. Like, he had no choice but to hold. There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all, man.
It's a smart move. What do you want him to do? You want him to keep going out there and throwing and getting knocked out through the ropes? Like, that was the only other alternative.
Absolutely.
So, no, I have no problem with what he did. Exactly what he did is what I would have done.
Yeah.
Bitch ass might have quit, to be honest.
Yeah, for real.
Like, man, fuck this.
And he needs to work on the clinch, man. That's something that you need to practice and work on, dude, because if you reach for people like that against a Theo or a Tank, you're about to catch that mean ass up.
Yeah, because you're going to be leaning forward. You're going to be leaning right into the shot. That could have been bad, but Jorge, for whatever reason, I don't know why. I don't know if he all of a sudden got punched out or if he was just like waiting for the perfect shot to finish him with, but I'm sorry, but that was a mistake.
Yeah.
So, all right. The Q&A. How do you feel about fighters moving up and down in weight? What are the benefits? What are the takeaways?
I don't think it's beneficial. I think the same for actors, too. I know it's not a great comparison, but actors that, like, gain a bunch of weight because they want to show, you know, how good I am as an actor and how committed I am to the craft. Bro, I think it fucks your body up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christian Bale,
the machinist, De Niro, where he ate an apple and smoked a cigarette every day.
Yeah, man, De Niro, everybody else that does it. If you go and ask them now, they'll tell you, oh, "I'll never do it again." Man.
Matthew McConaughey,
like I forget which one, but they had like spinal issues. Their stomach, they started having stomach issues. I just think it's a bad idea. Granted, they're losing a lot of weight and they're doing it the wrong way, and they're gaining weight and doing it the wrong way. Anyway, back to the fighters doing it. I don't think it's a great idea, and maybe I'm just scarred from Roy Jones Jr. Doing it, because yeah. Roy was my dude, man. I loved watching Roy fight, and when he started going up in weight, he carried it pretty well, but when he tried to come back down, it just wasn't happening. Something was different in the way he moved, the way he threw punches, so I don't like it. I do like when a fighter naturally just, you know, as you get older, you start maintaining more weight. I do like when they gradually start going up.
Yeah.
But they need to understand that once they get to a weight and they feel that their punching power isn't really translating, you need to stop right there.
Yeah.
Either go back down a little bit or stay where you're at, because you're just going to get clocked. It's going to be the Sugar Shane Mosley effect when he tried to move up and was fighting like Winky Wright. And I know Winky Wright just covers up, but when he was throwing punches at Winky, I was like, yo, Winky could block all of this. You're not going to do anything against this. You need to go back down and wait. It's like me fighting a 200-pounder. I'm like, I'm not going to hurt you. You could block all my punches.
Yeah. That question was sent by Carla, a.k.a. Cdell, our friend from Canada.
Canada.
Voilà. Oh, booty. Home of Terrence and Phillip. How do I feel about it? If you can do it naturally, like Manny said, moving up in weight is good. Not great for some people, because you give away your advantages. So yeah. When you fight at a lower weight, naturally your arms are going to be longer. You're going to be able to bully people a little bit. You may not have the same stamina you would have if you went up in weight, because some of your time in the gym is going to be used to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to train as hard sometimes. So the advantages are, if you move down, you're bigger, you're stronger, but your stamina may not be where it is. Whereas the advantages are increased stamina, more work rate, you can probably throw more punches because you're able to train more comfortably. You're just going to have to work with probably a size disadvantage. Mm-hmm. There are some guys that it works for, like
Pacquiao.
I think Tao going up to 140, he'll actually look better at 140.
I think so too.
Than he will at 135. If you look at Teofimo Lopez's body, those shoulders, those arms, those legs, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
I'm sure he kills himself to get down to 135. Yeah. So I think at 140, we'll really see what the potential of Tao looks like.
Yeah. Canelo moving up.
Yeah, Canelo moving up. He was killing himself to make 154. So we really didn't get to see the best Canelo until he got to 168, where he wasn't in camp killing himself, probably working out 10 hours a day and eating grilled chicken and broccoli only with no water. Like,
oh, man.
That's going to – you're going to leave something in the gym by doing that. Yep. So – I think if you can manage it to where you can find that perfect optimal weight where you can still train hard, not feel too drained, you'll have the stamina, but you won't give away too many physical advantages by doing that, then I think that's the perfect weight. It's tough, though. It differs for every single fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, real quick, Devin Haney's talked about moving up to 140. I wouldn't do it if I was him.
Oh, no.
That would be a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah.
That's the example, I think. So, like, Devin, stay at 135. Tao, I think he could go up. Devin doesn't hit hard at 135.
I know.
What makes him think he's not going to get bullied at 140? That's crazy to me.
Man.
And I know the counter could be, well, he's killing himself to make 135. Maybe he'll punch harder at 140. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, bro. And, like, Devin's big. Like, he has, like really broad shoulders and bigger arms. So I'm like, are you doing weights? Or are you doing, like, too many push-ups? And is this why you have trouble making weight, because you're building muscle? Or are you genuinely just fighting and your body naturally gets built this way?
Yeah.
So that's what I wonder. And that's why I wonder what's going on in his training camp, because I feel like he should be more lean, but who knows?
Yeah, and Shakur even said he could fight at welterweight the way he walks around, which surprised me. I would be interested. He's one I think is so good that it wouldn't even matter what weight he fought at. He'd be a problem either way.
I agree.
So, okay.
Next question.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Cdell. Same person. I don't know why I said it like it was two different people. What's the first fight we went to together? You may have a different answer. I think I know, but I'm not positive. I haven't really think too much about it.
Was it the Staples Center fight?
I think it was a Staples Center fight.
Because the one I actually remember was at StubHub.
Okay.
Who was it?
I think it was Fernando Vargas against Ricardo Mayorga.
Where?
At Staples. We were up in the nosebleeds for that fight.
Yeah, with the Mexican fans in front of us that were hilarious.
The Mexican fans. Shout out to Mexican fans. So we had, at this fight, we had some Mexican fans. a Russian fighter, keep in mind, a Russian fighter was fighting, and we had some Mexican fans that were like, fuck Poland! And we were like, those aren't related. He's not from Poland.
Yeah.
That's a Polish flag, dog. I'm like, no, that's the Russian flag. The guy's name is Roman Karmazin. He's Russian.
Yeah.
He's not Polish. They're like, man, fuck Russia.
Yep. And the great thing about it, the great thing about it is that there was, let's say there was five Mexican dudes in front of us that were hella drunk, super fun, that we like, they were great to be in front of. And the one dude was like, was the dude that all of his friends talk shit about. So whenever he would say some dumb shit, they'd be like, yo, shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck you're talking. You sound stupid, man.
That dude from Training Day, and it was like, two pairs.
Yes, yes, him. Yes, he was exactly him. And we were all like, we were trying to hold in our laughter because we don't want to make fun of somebody sitting in front of us, you know. But, like, I think when they were singing the national anthem, he had said some dumb shit. And his friends were like, yo, you're dumb as fuck.
Yeah, and he was also the one that was like, Viva Mexico. And then he, like, he was so drunk. He's trying to sing the Mexican national anthem. I don't know it word for word, but I went to enough boxing to know parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was butchering that shit. Yep. I was like, you don't even know your own national anthem, bro. Like, how drunk are you?
The fight that I remember being at was at StubHub, and the reason I remember it again is because of the fans that were in front of us. Man, that's what makes boxing so fun. You're around people that either just love watching it, love talking shit, love being drunk, love whatever. So you get the whole gamut of people that can be in front of you anyway. Some dude that was in front of us was Filipino, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Filipino.
So he was like something about a fighter. And I don't know what
Nonito.
I said. It was Nonito.
Yeah.
And Nonito's I don't know what there. I said. I don't think I was arguing with the dude. I was just like, yeah, man, something, something. And he was like, you just don't know geography. And I was like, what? And they started tapping on the tattoo or the shirt. It was on his shirt.
Was a tattoo.
He had the Philippine Islands tattooed somewhere. It was like, you just don't know geography. And we all were like, what the fuck is he talking about? Yeah. Even your brother was like, and I don't remember the full story. Do you?
Yes. So,
please share it.
Nonito Donaire is fighting a gang of people. He's fighting a gang of people. He's fighting a gang. I say it again. He's fighting a guy. G-U-Y. Guy. He's fighting a guy named Nicholas Walters. He's winning the early rounds. And I'm back there saying, like, yo, Nicholas Walters is known as the Axeman.
Mm-hmm.
He's still dangerous. He can knock Nonito out at any point. And then Manny's like, yeah, he's definitely got some power. And the guy was like, bro, you just don't know geography. And he points to, like, his arm. His arm has, like, the Philippine Islands. And so, like, every round Nonito won, he'd turn around and point to his tattoo. And so then...
Which we thought was hilarious.
Yeah, we were dying. But then 2 rounds later, Nonito gets knocked out. And you just see the guy with the tattoo just sitting there like...
And I don't know if we did, but in my mind, I remember being like, oh, yeah, like, trying to get in his ear and doing it. And he was hella cool about it, man. We had a lot of fun doing
I just heard, like, because we lost it. And, like, a small rain cloud just raining on him because he was so sad.
He was so hurt about it. Like most Filipinos, man, like, they love Pacquiao and they love Nonito. And when they lose, man, they get hurt about
it. Yeah, it ruined his whole month.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, they're carrying a whole country and a whole nation on their back, man. So it's so funny. But, yeah, that was the first fight I remember going to.
Yeah, I think that's it, actually.
Yeah.
So the craziest fight you've ever seen live. Or craziest knockdown, I'm sorry. Not craziest fight. We've done that. Craziest knockout.
Ever?
Yeah. You've seen live, though.
Seen live? Wait, like being there or on TV?
Yeah, being there.
Were we at the Victor Ortiz?
And, yep, Berto.
It'd be that one.
Yeah, that was a good
one. That shit. And I think it was, I don't remember any of the other fights that happened, but that was the same night that no fight went past 2 rounds.
Yeah.
At fucking StubHub. The punch bowl, baby. Man, because... People go there, and I don't know if it's because you're outside and you're in the elements and like, you're in this arena that goes up, so you feel like you're, like, all the people are looking down at you.
It's a tennis court converted to a boxing arena, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it feels like, I wonder if they feel like some fucking gladiators, and they get in there, and they have to just rumble it out. Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Yes, man, and, like, the fans that go there are real fucking fans.
Yeah.
So anytime there's a fight at StubHub, it's just a war. So, yeah. Victor Ortiz and Berto, too.
Yep.
Two. We didn't see the first. I didn't see the first one live, but I saw that one, and that shit was nasty.
That was a good one. I got two because I saw a knockout live and in person that wasn't in the boxing ring at StubHub. But anyway, we're going to... So my fight in the ring, Vic Darchinian fought a guy named Christian Mahares. At the time, Christian Mahares was like number 9 or 10 pound for pound in the world. don't know if you remember Vic Darchinian.
I remember
him. Little Armenian guy, looked like Dracula. He had like pointy ears, pointy nose.
Had the widow's peak.
Yeah, one of the hardest punches I've ever seen. So Maharis is dominating him early, and Maharis is obviously from Mexico, so the fans are rabid. Mm-hmm. But Vic Darchinian was crazy. He's just like keeps coming at him, lands this freaking left-right combination. I've never seen this in person ever again. Hits him. The guy looks like he's going flat back, but he got hit so hard his body turned at like a 45-degree angle when he went down. So it was like he slid as he went down.
Holy shit.
Knocked him out cold.
Yeah.
That was probably the craziest knockout I've ever seen in person in a boxing ring, outside of a boxing ring. So at StubHub again, y'all. People get knocked out there. It goes down in the StubHub. I'm in the line for the bathroom. It's a long-ass line. I see this young dude that looks like he's trying to be a thug. Like, he's a gangster wannabe. Yeah. Hispanic, got all the tattoos. Looks like he's trying to look like he's, you know, Mexican mafia, but probably just a little errand boy for the Mexican mafia, not really about that life. He's, like, yelling at this old man. This old man is probably, like, 5'1", maybe. Mm-hmm. 5'1", got a little belly on him, probably, like, 140, but looks like he's, like, 60 or something.
Yelling at him about what?
I couldn't tell because it was in Spanish, and I was kind of just far enough away not to be able to hear what he was saying.
Okay.
So he keeps getting in the old man's face, and the old man's just kind of sitting there like, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Y'all, if you've ever been in a fight, watch the person that doesn't say anything. Watch the person that's calm, because that's the person you got to watch out for. Yeah. So the dude's all in his face, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, in his face, yelling. The old man's like, whatever. The young dude takes a step back, throws a punch. The old man dodges it, just moves a little bit to the right. Hits him with the right hand, slumps him. The dude falls, like, face forward. His face, like, grates up against the wall as he's going down.
Oh, shit.
His butt is up in the air. He's knocked out.
Oh, shit.
He just hears some Mexican dude go, fuck, fool, you got knocked the fuck out. And then somebody else was like, he's sleep.
Did the old man look like he boxed back in the day?
Yeah, he must have, because that move was clean as fuck. It was one motion. It was a quick dodge, come right back with a counter right. One shot, one hitter quitter, put him out. I was dying. And security, of course, was just laughing. Like, everybody just laughed at him.
Like, he deserved that shit.
Because he had him coming.
Yeah.
The old man was trying to, I don't know what he said, but you can tell the old man was like, yo, Vato, probably like, hey, young one, chill out, Holman. Like, dude wouldn't take no for an answer. Yeah. He got what he wanted. He got an early bedtime story.
Okay, you just reminded me of another one that I saw in person, but it wasn't a boxing. It was just some shit that was going down. So in college, my first apartment, I lived with two other dudes on the football team, and we're upstairs. And downstairs was a girls' apartment or there was three guys in there. Either way, they were all part of a frat. So they were having some party one night. And me and my boys, we just didn't do anything. So we're upstairs, and we had this recruit, this big-ass Samoan dude named Reagan. I'll never forget him because he was cool as fuck. Eastside Oakland. Always
love
repping.
Samoans, dude. Man, the chillest ever.
Samoans and Tongans, man, you're just my fucking one of my favorite people. So Reagan is just Eastside Oakland to the fucking core, man. So he wants to go downstairs because we're hosting him. He's a recruit, so we're hosting him at our apartment. We're kind of showing him around. Mm-hmm. He wants to go down to the party, and we're like, fuck. We're like, go down. We'll meet you down there. And he's down there. All of a sudden, we hear all this arguing. A bunch of Mexicans, hella drunk, going at it. Reagan's down there just because he wants to be in the mix. And some drunk-ass Mexican dude is near him, and he's like, hey, bro, yeah, man, that's what's up. Okay. And for whatever reason, maybe just because he likes doing it, Reagan looked at me. I was already downstairs. And then looked back at this dude and was like, bah! Caught him with a straight temple shot. And if anybody out there that doesn't know Samoans are just big, man.
Brick shithouses.
It fists like this. With power when they swing.
They're walls with arms and legs.
My God.
Brick walls.
And knocked this dude out. And I had never seen anybody drop like that. So, like, the little boy in me came out. And I was just like, ah! And I ran upstairs to call my boy RZA, who I was, like, close friends with. And I'm like, all I could think to say was, RZA, Reagan just knocked the shit out of somebody. Like, somebody needed to see it. So, like, I brought my boys down. And we're all laughing and shit. And all of a sudden, reality sets in. And I look around. And I see nothing but Mexican dudes drunk as fuck with beer, like empty glass beer bottles in their hands. And I'm like, yo, like, go upstairs. And we're like walking upstairs backwards. And all of us are like, if y'all throw this shit, we're about to like come back down here. And we're walking upstairs. As soon as we get to like midway through, whoo, 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 whoo. And I'm like, fucking, oh, shit. My boy RZA gets hit in the head with a glass bottle and busts his shit wide open. And he was like 6'4", linebacker, fucking diesel. He goes, and legit, it's like this. And like runs back downstairs and just fucking going. And I'm like, oh shit, what do I? And I didn't know what to do. Like, do I go down and like just start throwing at people? So I'm just like trying to pull motherfuckers off. I see my other boy, for whatever reason, arguing with somebody, and he like punches a pole to show how tough he is. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, what? And then, so all this shit gets squashed. We go back upstairs. The other dude that punched the pole, he was this little piece of shit that nobody actually liked. He just lived with us. He was up there like, yeah, I punched some dude. Look, I hit his tooth right here.
You hit a pole.
I was like, what? No, you fucking didn't. I called this bitch ass out, and everybody started laughing. So anyway, we had a really fun night, and it was a great, great memory. But yeah, Reagan, great fucking dude. I hope he's doing all right.
That was the greatest story ever. I love it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right, so.
That's it?
Yeah.
On that note.
Oh, but.
Tell me.
So, this week, we got Mayweather Logan Paul.
Oh, shit. That's this weekend?
That's this weekend coming
Sunday.
Up.
So, for whatever, on a Sunday.
Yeah, so we're going to have to record later. I don't know what we're going to do, but okay. Your predictions for that fight real quick.
Mayweather, easy. Logan, is it
Will
Logan?
He let him live? Will he let him live,
yeah,
or is he going to knock him out?
Yeah, I think he'll let him. I think Logan's going to go into a shell. I think he's going to try to do all the same bullshit that he does, the little 1-2s. All he has is a 1-2. Yeah. If that, and you're fighting against nobody, so I think Mayweather's just going to expose him. He's going to, you know, take him into like the third or fourth round, let him get tired, and then just do what
he
does.
This is one of the rare cases where I haven't even done my homework. I have no idea who's on the undercard. I know Badu Jack was supposed to fight Jean Pascal,
right,
which I don't know if you remember that fight. That fight was a war, and Badu Jack got the biggest cut I've ever seen.
That's right.
But Jean Pascal, shout out to him, took 4 steroids before the fight, and now he's out of the card. 4 different steroids, or 3.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was like Drahuzabal, Clarabrodol, Clarabrodol. Like, it was a bunch of different ones.
Just give it up, man.
Yeah, so if you're doing that to compete, then you need to stop. Like, so that fight's off. That was the only other undercard fight I remember, and that was one I was looking forward to.
Man, now we're going to see a bunch of random performances from some reggaeton artists and some fucking...
It's Don Omar here to perform.
Oh, shit, Don Omar? Nobody gives a fuck, man. So hopefully it's a decent fight. Hopefully Mayweather just shuts all the YouTubers up. And the sad thing and the thing that makes me mad is that Mayweather's going to win, and then, you know, Paul's going to be like, look, man, I've only fought, you know, 3 guys, and I was in here with Mayweather for however many rounds. So, like, that goes to show you how serious I take this business. There's going to be no lose for him.
The only thing I'm hoping for this is, like, Logan Paul grows some balls and really tries to knock Mayweather out.
Right.
So I can see Mayweather slump him.
Right.
I don't think he will, but that's the hope I have going into it. We're obviously going to discuss it because it's fun.
And last thing I will say about Mayweather going in for this fight, people that are giving him shit saying, oh, you're fighting a YouTuber. Look, man, the dude's however many pounds heavier. He's like 6 or 7 inches taller. He's got more of a reach. Regardless of what you say, boxing has weight classes for a reason. So if you're going in there against somebody that's heavier than you, you're risking a lot. And Mayweather's older. He's been out of the ring. I'm sure he has some ring rust. So there is a chance of something bad happening to Mayweather. I just hope it doesn't happen, man. That shit would break my heart.
Look, y'all, I know people want to see Mayweather lose, but his boxing career is over. This is called entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather's 44, y'all. Give it up.
Yep.
If you're not entertained by it, don't tune in. But I don't give a shit about your dumb opinion.
But 100 mil?
Maybe we should fight a real fighter. He's 44.
Name me another fighter that's going to make the same money.
Why do you need to fight a real fighter at 44?
100 mil.
Nobody needs to do that. He's already proven it. Let it go, y'all. If you're not entertained by it, don't tune in. Fuck it. But stop saying he needs to fight a real fighter. He's 44. He's fought real fighters.
I know.
More real fighters than anybody in history, probably.
Look at his fucking resume.
Let that shit go.
Yep.
If you don't want to watch it, turn it off. Don't pay for it.
That's right, motherfuckers. This is Put 'Em Up, Duh.
P-U-T.
H-Sticky Network.
E-M.
Motherfucker.
U-P motherfucking P-D-E motherfucking. Ooh, D-E. You. Got too fired up, son. You. X. Rest in peace, X.
As they say in Canada. Peace out.
Good punching.
God, just stop.
There.